Hello, I'm Dr. Gerald Chodak from Medscape. Screening for prostate cancer again is dominating many of the news stories because of a number of things that are happening. Recently, JAMA published two articles by Jamal and by Salmon looking at the changes in the incidence of screening with PSA since the U.S. Public Task Force recommendations against routine screening. They concluded that there was a significant drop in the screening rates. This is not surprising since many internists who are doing the PSA usually follow those recommendations. An editorial by David Penson criticized those changes, raising concerns that we're now going to return to the higher mortality rates that were seen before screening began. In response, he has suggested that we sort of modify things and screen limited to high-risk populations may overcome that. Those high-risk populations include people with a family history or African-American men. But caution is needed here because neither of those groups have been demonstrated to have additional benefit from routine screening. So the fact is that although they are at higher risk for the disease, there is no clear proof yet that screening them will make a difference in their mortality. If we are making that recommendation to screen those high-risk patients without support, then we're really, in some ways, duplicating the problems that started with PSA in the first place. Now, there have been other articles written. There's been an important article written by Shogue and co-workers in which they did a different type of statistical analysis on the PLCO trial, in which they only looked at the men who were screened. And their findings showed that there was no mortality benefit in the men that did get screened as a result of the methods that were used. Other people have weighed in on this. Dr. Vega wrote on Medscape back in August that although there are problems with the test, it's the best we have so far, so we ought to continue using it. And after all, it's not the test or the detection that's the problem. It's the decision on when and if to treat men who are diagnosed with the disease. Everyone is arguing for active surveillance, and it's being used to an increasing frequency. But that still doesn't solve the problem that many men are going to get treated unnecessarily. Another recommendation has been to modify the screening process and simply get a PSA for men in their 30s or 40s. And because of data from Sweden, if the findings are a PSA under 1.6, then no further screening should take place. However, for those men with a PSA over 1.6, there's about a 5% risk of mortality over the next 25 years. Is that a good recommendation? The answer is, we have no idea. So, offering it as a suggestion in the absence of data, I think, simply leads to more problems. In some ways, the challenge here is that we have a very simple test, the PSA blood test. It's not like we're asking people to get a CAT scan or an MRI as a way of screening. And so that is making the argument more difficult. But we come away with the same issue. Is it something that we should have patients opt in for, as was suggested in another Medscape article? Or should you opt out? Many people are suggesting that the internist spend the time necessary to explain the challenges to each individual and then make a shared decision whether to proceed. Who has the time for that? Doctors are spending a lot of time managing more immediate problems like hypertension and heart disease. A 15-minute careful discussion about PSA is certainly advisable, but it's not likely to take place because people don't have the time. So at the end of the day, where do we stand? There is concern that the CMS now is evaluating whether to continue paying for a screening PSA or maybe even penalizing doctors who order it. I think that we have a lot of questions that still remain unanswered. Number one, how much benefit really is derived by the PSA test. And although the European trial did show a benefit, the U.S. trial did not. and there are many problems that have been acknowledged about the European trial. So for now, all I can say is making recommendations to the public in the absence of data that supports those recommendations is not in the public's best interest. And the U.S. Public Task Force is simply acknowledging that based on what we know, the harms seem to outweigh the benefits. Even more active surveillance may help, but it may not solve the problem. And as for screening the high-risk populations, well, they have a higher risk. Do we know whether they have a higher benefit? The answer is no. I look forward to your comments.